And now, lastly, I would like to introduce our special speaker today and his wife, Dr. Keith McLeod and wife Joan. He is the pastor at Boynton Baptist Church in Ringgold, Georgia. And I believe Pastor Randy has been down there a couple times. Now, is this your first time here?
Yes, sir, it is.
It is, all right. And you can tell a lot about our pastor by the company he keeps. And we've seen through the campfire meetings and things at the church that, you know, God is really, and that's a good way that our pastor is staying encouraged. I just don't want to mention that. Some of these meetings and things that seem like extra work is really filling him up. I mean, he'll come back and say, man, the Lord bless Brother Josh. And Lord really uses that to encourage our pastor. Amen. For some pastors, that might be an extra load, but it's not for ours. He loves that stuff, and it really brings him back here with just a fresh anointing. I believe it. Amen. I've traveled with him on some of those trips, and that is the case. So let's, you know, if there's opportunities, I know it's little. As much as we hate to see him gone 1 week, man, what it does for him when he gets back is worth it. Amen. It sure is. And so I hope we keep encouraging him to follow the Lord's leading as God calls and things. But, you know, he's always here for us as well. So with that said, I'd like to introduce Ms. Dr. McLeod, and just excited to hear what the Lord has put on your heart, sir.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Well, it's great to be here this morning. I'm going to say a few things before I get started on your pastor. Several weeks ago, I received a phone call, not from him, but someone else in the church, inviting me to come today, so I didn't know if it was a surprise for him or not. And I've tried to ask through his wife and through Dr. Reese if they would tell me some things about what's going on in the church and what's going on with him, and no clue. I'm here this morning on no clue. I don't know where you're at spiritually. I know if you got a pastor like Dr. Randy Reese, you're growing in the Lord, and that's what it's all about. Many years ago, I had the opportunity to meet Brother Randy at a camp meeting that at that time my father started the indoor old-time camp meetings. And so on one occasion I met Dr. Randy, and man, I got fired up just listening to him preach, because his preaching style is just the opposite of mine. And I felt this low when he got through preaching. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what the time limit is that you let him preach here, but boy, he preached as he was preaching all night long. I mean, and it was not an all-night meeting. But I asked, and I saw him at two or three more of these camp meetings, so I asked my dad on the side. I said, Dad, I said you're my pastor, even though his evangelist headquarters was St. Augustine, Florida. I said, Dad, I said, you're my pastor, you're my mentor. And I said, Dad, I said, I like that kind of preaching. And I said, do you think I might could get Brother Randy to come to my church? And he says, he probably can if you give him, several months notice. And then my dad said, son, as I was getting ready to walk away, he said, I forgot to tell you something. He says, I don't know if your church can handle him or not. I said, he's a fireball. And I said, well, Dad, I said, I'm not ready to leave my church. I've been there 23 years, and Lord's blessing. But I said, Dad, I'm not ready to leave my church unless that's God's will. And I said, what would you suggest I do to try to contact him? He says, well, the best thing to do is just to invite him for one service. Maybe a Sunday night. You know, we have more on Sunday morning, but maybe on a Sunday night. And see if your church can really handle him or not. Well, I said, listen. And I talked to the Lord on my way home from South Georgia. I said, God, if I'm going to do this, I probably need to do it right. I'm going to go for the gusto. So I called him. I invited him. He came the first week to do revival for my church, and the Lord really blessed. We had some additions and salvations after he left to come back to you. And then it was just about 4 or 5 months later in a deacon's meeting. And by the way, there's two things in a church I dread, and that is deacon's meetings and business meetings. I don't like them because you never know what's going to come out in the conversation. And so my deacon said, "Preacher, are you in God's will?" And I said, "Yes, sir, as far as I know." "Why?" Says, "Have you contacted Brother Randy to come next year?" And I said, "No, sir, I haven't. The Lord hadn't spoke to me yet." And he said, and the deacon chairman said, "You better get right with God because he needs to come back next year. So I want to thank you for allowing him to go the last 2 years to preach our homecoming." And they're already asking me, they want him to come back next year, 2019. So I don't know if you're going to allow that, but I haven't talked to him about it. But you're really blessed today. This is Pastor Appreciation Day. Brother Randy commented at dinner last night. He says, "I don't want you to say anything about me." He says, "You remember what you got posted all in your hallways at your church?" And that's the way we try to do church there. But it's a statement, and you can call it a motto if you want to. But there are signs all over church that says, "It's not about me. It's all about him." But Brother Randy could not do what God has called him to do if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit of God speaking through him. Y'all, you are very blessed this morning. I mean, I could get up here, and I've got a message to bring, but I could get up here and say many things about him. But Brother Randy, I love you, brother. There's times that sometimes when we're our lowest, I'd get a phone call. How did Brother Randy know that I needed that phone call? The Spirit of God. He would ask me sometimes, "Pastor Keith, what are you going to be preaching on Sunday?" And I would share with him. But every time we would talk, he would pray for me, and then in return I would pray for him and what God is doing here. Church, you're very privileged not only having a minister of God. And I'm in and out of churches quite often, and this is a fact. And I want you to listen very carefully. By the way, he hadn't paid me one cent of what to say today, so Brother Randy, you're not preaching, you just sit there. I may embarrass you, but if I do, just don't worry about it. Don't turn red, all right? One of the reasons, and I think the most important reason, why you are blessed. In most churches, and listen very carefully, in most churches, when a church calls a pastor, in most cases, they either get a preacher or they get a pastor. With Dr. Reese, you got both all in one. You got a preacher of the Word of God that does not compromise the Word of God. He is not embarrassed of what he preaches, and he lives it out daily. I can tell you, when he's out of town, when I see him, he lives it day in and day out. Eating at restaurants, he will ask prayer for the servers that we're about to pray. Is there something we can pray for? But I want to think along the terms this morning of Brother Randy and his shepherd heart. Of course, I know he's furthering his education, but I'm going to tell you, he is not only a preaching machine, but I don't know the hours he gets to sleep. Of the memorization that he has of Scripture, he's got to stay up all night long. And I mean, he puts me to shame. I mean, a lot of times when he was preaching in our church, I mean, he'd have his Bible open, but it was memorization. And I thank God that God has given him a mind where he can remember these things so he doesn't have to look down and read every word. But if you don't mind, just out of God's respect, if you'll please stand to our text, we're going to be looking at one of the verses. I did not know. See, he did not tell me. He did not tell me the youth was going to be doing what they were going to do. And by the way, youth, I really enjoyed that this morning. Probably one of the things that ministers are going through today is a spiritual warfare. You see, it's God fighting against Satan. And if you're saved, you're in God's army this morning. And you're on the battle lines. You're on the front lines. And a lot of times, spiritual warfare will come. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, I would just like to read the first four verses. The Apostle Peter comes to us to write these words. He says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Verse 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you today of New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, of honoring their pastor and Sister Deanna. Lord, I thank you, Lord, because, Lord, I know that when churches honor their pastor and wife, you're going to pour out rich blessings upon them. So, God, I pray that you'll continue to bless Brother Randy's ministry, and God, that you would allow him to continue to study and proclaim the word of God. And Lord, I pray that as a shepherd, as an under shepherd of the chief shepherd, Lord, that you would use him in a mighty way. Father, those that may come to him for counseling or for problems that they're dealing with and or situations that may arise in church from time to time, God, I pray that you would just give him more godly wisdom than you have in the past. Lord, that he would seek your face, and God, that you would use him in this church in a great way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I wanted to state just quickly a few things about the Scripture, and then I want to go into some of the duties that pastors are faced with each day. We find in verse 1, the Apostle Peter is writing to the elders, but he says that he's also an elder, and he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I think that we would probably be better Christians, closer to God, if we had witnessed the sufferings of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter, he was able to be a witness of Jesus' death, and then he was a partaker of God's glory. And then not only how the Apostle Peter had stressed his right to be heard, But I want you to look at the charge that he gives to the pastor or the overseer of the church. Now, you may, as a church, you may have your priorities of what you think your pastor should be or what he should do. Pastoring is very important, but it's very difficult. There are many times, and I can say this because I was raised in a pastor's home. Many times a phone call will come at midnight or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And the minister of God, if he wants to follow God, he's going to have to pick up that phone and talk to the person who is calling him. And sometimes it could be a church member in trouble. It could be an unsaved person in the community that may be in trouble. But Brother Randy needs to be privileged that they are even picking up the phone and calling him so he can pray for him. Or, by the way, Brother Randy goes an extra step. When you call him, you probably called for special prayer. But through the conversation, I can guarantee you most likely, he would say, "Now, where are you at? I will get there as soon as I can." That's a true pastor. The subject of the message, I should have given you that a few moments ago before I started bragging on your pastor, what is a true minister of God? So the Apostle Peter, he gives a charge, and the charge was to feed the flock. Feed the flock. Don't take this the wrong way. But you do not belong to Brother Randy. You belong to God. God is the chief shepherd, and your pastor is the under shepherd, and one of his, probably the most important responsibility that he has, is to feed the flock of God. I can tell you this from experience, that if we spend all of our hours in the week ministering to people and pastoring, and we do not spend time before God, our face on the floor, bringing our face to God, and we haven't studied up, what you're going to expect on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night is you're going to expect a word from God. We cannot use the excuse, "Well, church, I spent all this week visiting everyone to try and get them right with God." A true minister of God will spend time with God. And I want to say some few things about this, but the result of the responsibilities that your pastor has is he's to be, in verse 3, he's to be an example to the flock. It's real easy to preach the Word of God, but it's harder to live it. If you're a Sunday school teacher, it's probably easier for you to teach a Sunday school class or work in the ministry of the church than the other. And then, but the result of all of this, when all is said and done, the result is that the minister of God is going to receive a crown of glory. The Bible points out in the New Testament that there are a minimum of 5 crowns that a believer can earn. For a true minister of God, one of those crowns is, according to this passage of Scripture, a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I know, knowing Brother Randy as I do, I know that what's going to happen when he faces God, because this is his heart now. When he faces God, God's going to give, he's going to have to give account, first of all, for his salvation, also for every message he has preached, also for how he has taken care of the flock of God that belonged to God, but Brother Randy, God has put it in his hands and entrusted him to take care of you. You may say this morning, Pastor, I'm up there getting up there in age. I'm not worth very much. You need to know this morning, Peter also says in another passage of Scripture that we are precious jewels of God. And but precious jewels is something that is expensive, something that is valued, and every one of you are valued. And I want to commend you today for the love that you have for Brother Randy and for Sister Deanna. But I want to use just two or three other passages of Scripture and just leave you with just four things. And Brother Randy said that I had to finish by 11:30. It's 11:35 right now, so if I see you walking out, but I'm going to tell you, it's not fair if he preaches short messages to you, then he goes to other churches and preaches all night long. That's just not fair, all right? All right. Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 13 tells us, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Guess what, church? You are his friend. I'm going to tell you at the end, and Brother Randy is going to explode, but at the end of my message, and you'll know when I'm getting close to the end, I'm going to give you five ways you can get rid of your pastor. He's already read. I mean, he read last night when we were getting back in our vehicle. I said, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. But you see, Brother Randy, he would go before you just like a shepherd would go before the sheep. You are the sheep, and he's the under-shepherd. And Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 11 says, I am the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There are times in a pastor's ministry that he's preparing messages three times a week or more, and then he's taking care of the needs of the church, and then he's ministering. Understand that he had a funeral yesterday. Probably yesterday he should have spent time with his wife. But see, he was put in the ministry first because God called him to the ministry. And Brother Randy, I want to say something. You're going to get upset with me. I know this. This church loves you very much. I can tell. From the moment I walked in this morning, I could tell. And I know you have expressed how much you love them. But Brother Randy, you need a day off. You probably need a few days off. I just found out last night he never takes a vacation. Made me look bad. I take, because I've been at my church as long as I have, they give me 4 weeks a year. You might say, well, no preacher needs 4 weeks a year, but listen, before I came to my church, they couldn't keep a pastor. I mean, 6 months, gone. 2 or 3 years, gone. So guess what they put him in church bylaw? 6 months after he's there, he can take 1 week of vacation. After he's there 1 year, he can take two. And then after he goes a 10-year tenure, he gets another one. And see, they didn't have to worry about that at one time because they never had to worry about a pastor staying as long as I have. But I go and preach an engagement such as this, and I go do revivals, and I go do other things. But still, I make sure I get in my 4 weeks during the year, and it's simply because I need to regroup. I need to spend time with God. I need to spend time with my wife. I need to spend time with my family. And by the way, one day, all of those that are children of God that has passed on, we're going to see our family again one day, and we need to look forward to that day. But most of all, I am looking forward to see the face of God. I preach about the face of God. I sing about the face of God. But guess what? One day, I'm going in His glory. I'm going to see the face of God. And every child of God is going to do the same as myself. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, the scripture says, "And walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." So the under-shepherd, number one, I promise I won't be very long. I mean, my points is very short, but my introduction sometimes gets a little long. But number one, the under-shepherd. Christ is a shepherd of the church. He's also the head of the church. You might say, well, Brother Randy is the head of our church. No, if you want to go scripturally, Brother Randy is not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. I'm going to ask you, what kind of church would your church be if you had more than one head in the church? You'd have people going in all different directions. And your pastor is the under-shepherd. And we've already said it, but he is to shepherd the flock of God, and that would be to you. So I want us to put it another way in Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love as our pastor also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God and a sweet-smelling Savior. No, His sacrifice is not redemptive as was Christ, but it is an offering and a sacrifice to God. Number two, the friends these are you. They are those who have been given unto His care. And you need to be thankful today that you are His friends. You are part of the body of Christ. And think about the 27 plus years that He has been with you. This is a recent statistic from one of our mission groups in our denomination. Some of you may think that pastors stay in a church for a very long time, like Brother Randy and myself. But that is not true. If you went and you visited, and I think we have something like 43,000, 45,000 Southern Baptist churches in our denomination. If you had the time to visit all those churches and you asked, how long did your last pastor stay, or how long has your present pastor been? The average of a tenure of a senior pastor in a Southern Baptist church is 2.5 to 3 years. I want to ask you, just think about what you have accomplished past his first 3 years. I always love to go in older church buildings. That's just something I love to do. And I asked Brother Randy if I could see the first building. And when we went over there, the youth was in there, and I was just looking around. And then he showed me up on the wall about the different phases that you have been in, and this is a phase y'all are worshiping in right now. And when I walked from that design and I was walking down the hall, this is what, I didn't say it to him, but this is what I said to God. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Not through the leadership of Brother Randy, but the great things that God has done. Brother Randy may hold the office of the pastor, but he and Sister Deanna share many of the responsibilities together. Even though years ago you voted on the man, you were really voting on them as a team. No successful pastor could accomplish his job without the active support of his wife. Spending time with and for the friends instead of with his children. I'm not complaining. This is just how life works. It's like I'm on a merry-go-round all the time. My beautiful bride can say, 6 months from now, look at the calendar and see if you got a certain week free. And I'll look at the church calendar and I said, just a normal thing. She says, can you get somebody to preach for you that Sunday? And I said, 6 months out, I'll be able to find someone since we got 3 retired preachers in our church. One of them ought to be ready. And I'm going to tell you, 9 chances out of 10, I'll write it on my calendar 6 months in advance. And 9 chances out of 10, when that date comes and we leave to go wherever we're going on vacation, 9 chances out of 10, either someone in my church family will have a major surgery or they will pass away. Possibly in good health before we left. When I'm notified, we pack up, we come back home. Many of my church members says, preacher, we don't want you to come back. You finish your vacation. I said, no. Give me enough time to pack up and I'll hit the road and come home. That's exactly what your pastor does when he's out of town. He's putting you first, but many times while he's putting his ministry as a top priority, he's putting Sister Deanna on the shelf. Brother Randy, you need to give her the time that she deserves. God has blessed you with a wonderful pastor's wife. And you need to give her the time that she deserves. Not only you've been his friends, but number 4, what can you do for your pastor? What can you do for your pastor? In fact, number 3, I just said, it's on what ways has he laid down his life for his friends? It's spending his time with his friends sometimes more than he's spending time with the one that God has blessed him with through his wife. So number 4, what can you do for your pastor? There is no greater blessings to your pastor than to see obedient Christians exercise their gifts under the guidance of agape love. In 2 Corinthians 1:11, there's a very special person that pastors are especially thankful for, and that is prayer warriors. You might say, well, I'm going to do something for Brother Randy because it's Pastor Appreciation Day. That is great. You need to do that. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing that this church can do for your pastor is to pray for him daily. And you might say, well, he doesn't need my prayers. Yes, he needs your prayers. This is a man of God that spends time, hours in God with prayer. And he's praying for you. And if he's praying for you, don't you think you as a church body needs to be praying for him? And when, I'm going to tell you, every time that God does a breakthrough in the church, he always does it, a prerequisite is always through prayer. So prayer is the greatest thing that your pastor needs. In this passage, 2 Corinthians 1:11, the greatest missionary of all time, the Apostle Paul, he wrote, "As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." The church that gets serious about praying for their spiritual leaders is the church that God will use them to reach the lost and make the disciples of Christ. Now, Brother Randy is looking this way. So these other over here, make sure Brother Randy's not looking. But I'm going to give you, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. There's five. How many, first of all, he's not looking. How many this morning will honestly say, "I want to get rid of my pastor"? Come on. Be honest. Brother Randy, I'm sorry. I don't know these five people that just raised their hands. No, sir. Not one hand. Not one hand went up, Brother Randy. Oh, I forgot about the mirror. Five ways to get rid of your pastor. And then we'll... I smell some fried chicken in the kitchen. Number one. Remember, these five things is how you can get rid of your pastor. Number one. Sit up front. Smile. And say amen. Every time he says something good, he will preach himself to death. Is it sinking in? Sit up front. Don't be a back seat person. Sit up front as close as you can get. And by the way, if you shout amen every time he says something good, he's going to keep you here all day. And then that's when you'd want to get rid of him, right? Number two, pat him on the back and tell him what good work he is doing in the church and community. He will work himself to death. Number three, increase your offering in the church. Then he will suffer from shock. Buddy guy. Hey there. Number four. Tell him you have decided to join the visitation group and win souls for the Lord. He will probably suffer a heart attack. And lastly, get the whole church to band together and pray for him. He will get so efficient that some other church will hear about him and give him a call. That will take him off of your hands. I know you don't want to do number five. But Brother Randy is a special servant of God. I would like to, this is my first time being here, so I don't know how you normally do the invitation, but if the musicians would come or get ready for the invitation. And ask Brother Randy or the associate pastor to come. That's right, his day is off, and he's off today. And sir, if you would come forward and extend an invitation. If there's someone here today that's without Christ. I know this is been a pastor appreciation day, but there could be someone that walked in the door that you, and as a church member, you invited an unsaved person to come. And I'm going to tell you that if you're looking for a church home, you won't find a better place than New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. A pastor that will love you, spend time with you, pray with you, and try to meet your spiritual needs. But as we begin this time of invitation, I'd like, if you could, if everyone could stand, I'd like to just do two parts first. To extend an invitation to anyone that needs to come to Christ by salvation. You might say, well, this is my first time to Rocky Creek, and I don't really know what to do. I'm not a child of God. Can you tell me what to do? I'm going to make it very simple. Three easy things. It's like ABC. Number one, admit that you're a sinner. You can't get saved until, first of all, you admit that you're in a sinful condition. Number two, or B, believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave his life on the cross for your sins. If you think that you have a doubt in your salvation and you're saying, well, Pastor, I just don't know for sure if I'm saved or not, I want to ask you to go back to the time where you think you could have been saved. What happened? Was there a change in your life? And if there wasn't a change in your life, you got a spiritual need that needs to be met this morning. The invitation should be open for you. And then not only admit and believe, but confess. Confess to the Lord that I'm a sinner. I've come short of the glory of God. And all you have to do, simply, we make it so difficult, but all you have to do is to ask Christ to come into your heart. And when you ask him to come in your heart, he'll come in. He'll save you. And then after that, thank him for the miracle of salvation. So if we could just do the invitation in this part, and then I'll let you know the second part of the invitation.